Hello, my name is Craig Faust with Life Care Counseling, and you are listening to St. Louis Therapist Spotlight. And I am just going to meet with another fellow therapist that I know does good work and talk with them a little bit about their practice and their specialties. So if it's something that you feel like may be a good fit for you or someone that you know, then you may be able to get in contact with them. So without any further delay, here we go. Hello, everyone. My name is Craig, and I am here with Taylor. Taylor, can you tell everyone hi?
Hi, my name is Taylor Quad, and I am a licensed professional counselor here in St. Louis.
All right. So I was just wondering, first things first, I want to mention that, Taylor, you are in this office that is in Gateway Wellness Associates, mm-hmm. right? So we are on the fifth floor of what is it called, University Tower?
Yep, University Tower okay. in Richmond Heights.
Perfect. Just so, or the Richmond Heights, the Brentwood area, that way you kind of have an orientation of where we are. I'm wondering, Taylor, can you just tell me a little bit about your educational background and really what got you into wanting to help others and be in this counseling profession?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got my master's in counseling at Covenant Theological Seminary. Mm-hmm. And really, I've always been a deep feeler. And I know that there's probably some people that are listening that are like, oh, I don't really get that. No, I'm a very logical person. But there are a lot of people out there that understand when I say, I feel very deeply. And I've always experienced a lot of empathy for others and have taken on the feelings of other people. And that was really hard for me as a teenager. But then I went to counseling and kind of processed my own story and kind of the chaos I had grown up in as a child. And it was that experience of being in therapy with an amazing therapist, thankfully, that really kind of started the wheels turning in my mind of what it would be like if I utilized that empathy, that ability to feel others and care for others, and pursue that as my career. I was wondering, as I was in that own my own experience of doing counseling, okay, what would my life look like if this is what I did, if I kind of followed in the footsteps of this person who has been a part of my healing process? So that kind of got the wheels turning and turned into going to school, and which is brutal and also lovely and wonderful when you go through a counseling program, because it's just it uproots a lot of stuff, but then also really plants a lot of wonderful things in you. And that was kind of my experience.
Gets you the opportunity to experience what some of your clients are going to be experiencing whenever they're working with you. So I'm kind of wondering, so let's say that I'm listening to this and I'm like, hey, I like Taylor's voice. She seems pretty neat. And if I'm listening to this and I'm wondering if you'd be someone that could help me, can you give me an idea of some of the people that you serve or some of the issues that you help people through?
Yeah, so I started my career at BJC Behavioral Health, which is a community mental health agency here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, I worked there as an intern while I was still in school, and then started working as a caseworker and a DBT therapist. So I was working with a variety of populations, people that were struggling with homelessness, severe mental health issues, and other stressors, what we call psychosocial stressors, having issues in their family or homelessness or very limited income. And so that gave me just this really cool opportunity of working with a variety of people and a variety of mental health disorders. So I worked with schizophrenia and severe depression and bipolar 1 and 2 and anxiety and most specifically borderline personality disorder. So I've had a lot of experiences in my own life where I've had exposure to that disorder, and I've always felt very strongly and very deeply that it was a disorder that I wanted to work with, and so I started getting trained in dialectical behavior therapy.
Okay, that's going to be my next question. Yeah. So you're talking about those that suffer from borderline personality disorder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So first, I was hoping that you can tell me just a little bit about what that is.
Yeah.
If I'm someone that's maybe suffering from borderline, how would I know, or how would people around me know? What would they be seeing happen? Can you just kind of give me an idea?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people either struggle with some tendencies. First of all of us can meet at least one of the criteria of, you know, the 9 symptoms that, you know, you have to meet at least 5 to be diagnosed with it. But all of us struggle sometimes with a fear of abandonment, or some chaotic interpersonal relationships or kind of a push-pull in a relationship, or not feeling like we know who we are. So I want to say that, like, it's, you know, if you're listening and it turns out that you feel like you have a lot of the symptoms that I'm mentioning, there can be a lot of shame that surrounds that diagnosis, but it's actually, like, very prevalent. So borderline personality disorder is a disorder that is kind of rooted in partly your biology. So people that are maybe more sensitive and more vulnerable to being intensely emotional, as well as being in an environment as a child that was invalidating. So that can be everything from, you know, you telling your parents that you're hungry and then them invalidating you and saying, no, you're not, you just ate. And then your actual real emotional experiences, not just your physical experiences, but your emotional experience as a child, not being validated, not being heard. And what that does is that creates a lot of, like, mistrust of yourself and your own experience and a lot of emotional chaos. So what that ends up turning into is a disorder that is marked by. So what we end up saying is people that struggle with impulsive behaviors that typically occur when you feel a lot of, like, chaos on the inside. Like, it's, you're at what we call a skills breakdown point. Like, you can't cope anymore. And so you act in a way to relieve yourself, or acting on those emotional urges. We typically see a lot of, like, push and pull in relationships, a lot of interpersonal chaos.
Which makes good sense. If you can't control a lot of the things that are going on inside, there's that turmoil, you can't really get along with people too well.
Right. And it's not that you're even a bad person if you experience that. It's just that your internal world feels so chaotic and feels so hard to control that you end up having all these behaviors, like suicidal urges, self-harm urges, urges to use substances, that make total sense in the context of what's going on in the inside of you, as well as the home you grew up in. So I am able to understand, typically my clients that have borderline, they make all the sense in the world to me. Or even people that just, like, let's say that they struggle with impulsivity, or another thing that we call, like, emotional dysregulation, or your emotions being up and down a lot of the time. And a lot of people experience that and they say, oh, I must have bipolar. One moment I was happy and the next moment I'm sad. A lot of times it's actually, like, the emotional dysregulation piece of borderline personality.
It's like the TV definition of bipolar is, one minute I was feeling like this and the other one.
Yeah.
And actually the clinical diagnosis is months in between.
Yeah.
Those two states.
Or, you know, if you're rapid cycling, it's like you have a few days or maybe a few weeks of that. But it's definitely not, you know, 5 times in the day I felt so irritated that I wanted to, like, you know, scratch something. And then there were other moments of just euphoria. I was so happy. And so what I find a lot, the population I was drawn to were people that felt a lot of chaos in their internal world. Emotions that felt so uncomfortable, and having this inability to control them. And so I'm passionate about working with people and helping them understand their emotional worlds and find peace in them. As well as going from, you know, I talk with my clients a lot. I worked at BJC and did DBT, and then I actually went to Center Point in West County at their intensive outpatient. I started their DBT program there. And so in the years that I've been doing DBT, what I describe to people is it's like you're going from feeling like you're drowning, right? And can you imagine how awful that is to, in your emotional world? It's not even all the stuff going on outside of you that might be terrible, but in your own internal world, you feel like you're drowning. And so that work in DBT that we do, which I'm sure in a second we'll talk about, okay, what does DBT look like? But to go from feeling like you're drowning to then, you know, we have some time where you're starting to feel like your head is above water. Like, you have moments where you're able to gasp for air, and then eventually you've got, like, a life jacket. Like, you're able to tread water, and you've got something keeping you afloat. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, like, we find our way on land, and then we put down deep, solid roots, where you have those skills and that insight to be able to regulate or control or master your internal experience and how you respond to your internal experience. So that's why I call my practice Deep Roots Counseling. I'm also part of STL DBT, but but my individual practice, I called it that because I think everyone wants to not feel like they're lost at sea drowning. They want to feel like a tree that is well planted and watered and has deep roots.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful picture that you painted too.
Yeah.
As far as feeling like you're drowning, I'm giving you the skills. We're working on the skills to develop so that you can start to swim, start to tread water. Then you kind of have that life jacket and you're slowly starting to make your way to land. And once you're on there, become rooted.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard because sometimes people have been out at sea so long, they start to wonder if there's any possibility of them being able to stay above the water. And it sounds like you're saying that someone who's listening to this, that maybe they feel like they've been drowning for a long time, then you'd be a really good fit for them. And I could tell even hearing you talk about it, the passion that you have to serve these types of people. There are people that are going through these types of things. I'm kind of wondering for you, can you talk to us a little more about DBT, which seems to be like a really central theme for you in helping this population?
Yeah. And, you know, even if like you don't, even if there's not self-harm or you have very like passive thoughts about dying, but you've never attempted before, DBT can be really great. I don't just practice DBT. I also use cognitive behavioral therapy and mindfulness and ACT, which is acceptance and commitment therapy. But yeah, my central kind of modality, I know I'm using big words, the central thing that I use is dialectical behavior therapy. It was specifically intended and created for people that have borderline personality, but has actually been found to be really helpful for a variety of populations. Can you remind me your question?
So for the people that are listening to this, just so that they kind of have an idea what DBT is, I also want to mention even while you're saying that, so DBT and CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy, they're kind of joined at the hip in some ways. They're married. That doesn't mean that they're the exact same, but cognitive behavioral therapy is one of the gold standards of therapy. I also think that the other one you talked about, ACT, acceptance and commitment therapy, is very soon going to be also a gold standard of therapy. So whenever we talk about dialectical behavioral therapy, just kind of have in your mind, it's up there as far as the research goes and as far as the validity behind such an approach.
Absolutely. And I think I was really drawn to therapies that were what we call evidence-based, meaning we have evidence and we base our practice in the evidence that it does work. So DBT, dialectical, is this big word. Basically what it means is that two things that seem like they cannot exist together, two things that seem to oppose one another, can actually exist together at the same time. So DBT is kind of rooted in mindfulness and also allowing ourselves to get away from the black and white and extreme thinking, which a lot of people struggle with, and finding what we call the middle path. So in dialectical behavior therapy, we focus on four sections, or what we call modalities, modules, and that is mindfulness, meaning being in the present moment and being able to tolerate it. A lot of people have moments that they feel like they absolutely need to escape. My pain is too severe. This thought is too painful, and so I need to escape. And one thing that we work on is like, how can I like root myself in this moment and feel okay, be able to observe what's going on, be able to put words to what's going on, and be able to stay here. We also talk about and learn interpersonal effectiveness. A lot of people struggle with very chaotic relationships, and they cannot for the life of them figure out how to communicate effectively and have the relationships that they really want. So there's this skill set that we learn in being effective in our relationships. And then we also have emotion regulation skills that is helpful in like, okay, what am I actually feeling? What is the purpose of emotions? Because I feel like there's a lot of people that experience really intense emotions and they have this like prayer that they pray inside of themselves that they'll just stop feeling. It would just be amazing if I didn't feel so strongly, if I could just be a logical person. And they probably had a lot of people tell them, why do you feel that way? Why are you so intense? I don't get what's going on. Well, no one chooses to feel deeply. And actually feeling deeply is a beautiful thing. I love it. I'm a deep feeler. So I can say, I mean, even in my own struggles, like there's sometimes where I'm like, damn, like I really wish I didn't feel so strongly, but there's a beauty to it. And I love working with people and figuring out, okay, we're not going to get rid of your deep feelings. We're just going to learn how to regulate them. We're going to learn how to make space for them in a way that doesn't destroy you. And so in emotion regulation, we talk about regulating what we feel, controlling them, mastering them. So a lot of people experience this feeling almost that they're like trapped in what they feel, controlled by what they feel. And one thing that I love working with people on is like learning how to master what they're feeling. Like, so you have space for it, but like you have the say on like what you do when you feel things, how much you think about something, and what your internal world feels like. And then the last section is distress tolerance. And that is tolerating really, really distressing feelings and not acting on them impulsively. And a lot of people will feel something so distressing, so unbearable, that they'll either out of self-hatred or out of the need to numb or out of this need to self-sabotage or disconnect, they'll self-harm or use substances or have sex with strangers or whatever it is. They'll try to find a way to alleviate what's going on, and their life ends up being worse instead of better.
So I want to continue on with the image that you're using earlier with someone that's drowning at sea.
Yeah.
So like for you, you're also giving them the tools. Like whenever these waves start getting really rough, the emotions start getting big, or they start pulling you under, it gives you a way of being able to get on top of them, being able to, in some ways, not only reduce the size of the waves, but if they are do become big, like how am I going to just float on top of them and make sure that they don't drag me under?
Yeah, not drowning, like even like picking up the hobby of surfing. Let's learn how to surf them, like ride the wave out, see it through to the very end, and then picking and choosing which ones you surf.
So could you even imagine if we use that that kind of image for us, a way that those waves can actually propel you towards things that you want rather than sink everything that you're trying to work towards.
Yeah.
So now that we have a good idea of dialectical behavioral therapy, you said some of the things that, and I know that cognitive behavioral therapy and dialectical behavioral therapy, they have a lot of overlap in some areas. I'm kind of wondering if you could talk to me a little more about the acceptance and commitment therapy that you do. Can you give us an idea a little bit of what that looks like?
Yeah.
And like if I'm someone that I'm like, hey, like would that be something that I'd be interested in at all? Yeah. Like how would I know if you're using that with me?
Yeah. So one thing that I love is that all of these are complementary to one another. So acceptance and commitment therapy is all about being able to accept your current experience, your emotions, your story, and sit in them and become familiar with them, and also understand your feelings and emotions outside of your identity. And that's something we work on in DBT too, as well as CBT. And then much like in DBT, where we start talking about building a life worth living, you kind of also do that in ACT, where you make kind of internal commitments and you start living in the way that you've kind of always hoped you would.
Yeah. I think that DBT, they even have this, part that goes along with ACT very well, called radical acceptance of experiences that are going on. And it would really seem to fit with the people that you serve. So I know that so far we've talked mostly about borderline, and I'm curious, like, are there any other populations that you serve? Or if someone is just like, hey, like, I maybe don't meet all the criteria for borderline, but like I am just like severely up and down with my emotions, and they are just taking me every which way right now. Like maybe I'm going through a hard path in my life right now. Would this be someone that can maybe benefit from some of the skills that you have and benefit from seeing you in therapy?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I have the most experience and probably skill in working with not just borderline, but people that just struggle with understanding their emotions. Either they are really restricted, so like disconnected, maybe tend to lead to the logical, or just constantly feeling numb, like they just don't feel like they ever know what they feel. Or maybe they grew up in a home where they were taught that feelings were bad. I also have experience in working with binge eating disorder and compulsive overeating, which a lot of times is paired with disorders like borderline personality, but not necessarily. And then just like depression and anxiety. And I kind of use acceptance and commitment as well as CBT and some DBT skills as well in working with people that just And it could be that you have a million stressors, or you're experiencing grief, or you have generalized anxiety disorder, wherever those feelings of depression, hopelessness, worthlessness, despair, or that experience of anxiety where like you might have those physical symptoms of like, you know, I have panic attacks where like my heart races and I feel like I'm dying and choking, and like, or I just constantly feel anxious, or I'm catastrophizing a lot. Or I obsess and I have like intrusive thoughts about obsessing. A lot of the modalities, the treatments that I provide work with those as well.
So someone that has maybe suffered from, or they have anxiety, or maybe they suffer from panic attacks, this would be something that could be really helpful for them too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's really important, especially because sometimes it's hard for people to know that they've had a panic attack. Which I love what you said right there. It feels almost like you're having a heart attack. Yeah. And you go to the hospital and they're like, oh, no, you're not having a heart attack. It's actually a panic attack. And,
yeah.
They look very similar.
Yeah. And it's like really, I mean, it might be that like maybe you've never had a diagnosis before. Like no one in your family has mental health issues. And then all of a sudden you're like severely depressed, or you're having those passive thoughts of like, I can't do this anymore. Or like, I don't know if I want to be alive anymore, or you're experiencing intense anxiety and like you're obsessing a lot and you feel stuck in your head, or you're imagining these threats or these catastrophes occurring and you like can't get out of that. First of all, that's normal. A lot of people experience that, and there are places to get help, you know. Pharmacotherapy, so being on medication is really helpful, and learning coping skills and understanding your story and kind of where these things came from and how to best treat them and manage them so that you can really have the life that you want. That's a normal experience that a lot of people have. And that's why therapy is so amazing. It's like, okay, as long as it's up to me, what do I need to process and work through and learn and adapt to so that I can have the life that I really want for myself.
So let's say that I'm someone that's listening to this and I'm like, wow, this sounds like it's something that I'd be really interested in. I'm really dysregulated, or you know, I've maybe even been to therapy before, but I haven't really learned anything about how to manage some of these extreme things, then this would really sound appealing to me. And I think it's also really convenient. So you're actually part of a group of therapists that practice DBT. And I was hoping you can just talk to me a little bit about that. Like, what are some of the advantages to working in an area where there's other DBT therapists?
Yeah, no, it's great. So, you know, I think I mentioned I have my own private practice with Gateway Wellness Associates called Deep Roots Counseling, and then I'm also a part of STL DBT. And it's great not only so that we can support one another, but doing the work in DBT, it's really important for me to remain therapeutic to the people that I'm working with and serving. People that come to therapy deserve to have a good therapist. They do. They deserve to have someone advocate for them, honor them, and be able to validate them in their most painful places. And having a team of therapists that I work with makes that doable for me, you know, that I can be the best therapist that's possible. So I offer group therapy through STL-DBT, which is like a skills group that you go and you literally like learn skills. It's like a class. And then I also do all of the individual work with my clients as well. So there's a lot that's available. And also you might be listening and you're like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, she sounds cool, but I don't know if this is right for me. I get that. And so I offer free like 15-minute consultations to anyone that wants to call and talk about therapy, what they're dealing with. You deserve to have someone tell you if you think that they're a good fit, right? Or if you feel like, hey, I feel like I can help you, or I feel like I can't work with everyone. There's a lot. I don't do couples therapy like you, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot that I don't do, but the stuff that I do, I feel like I'm good at and I'm really passionate about. And so I always offer that. We can talk on the phone and figure out if I would be helpful to you and if we would be a good partnership.
Yeah. And one of the specific reasons I wanted to ask you about the group is because that's very unique to therapy in general. A lot of times other therapists aren't getting together that have a very specific specialty to support one another to make sure that they are still doing good work, which is a model that's built in with DBT, which says a lot to the practitioners that actually practice DBT on a regular basis.
Yeah, and we also expect us to use the skills that we teach. So there is no, I'm sitting on
no top
of
outside.
My, yeah, I'm on my throne and I'm looking down at my clients. No, it's like, I'm a human, I've got issues. Sometimes I'm dysregulated, sometimes I struggle, and we practice all those skills that we teach.
Like, I'm here regulating myself in session just like you are.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, you know, we're really big on like, I'm a human and so are you. And yeah, I'm like helping you walk through this, and I'm helping teach you, and I'm coaching you, and I'm sitting with you in painful places. But I'm also human, and there is no one-upping or one-downing anyone in therapy. And a lot of people feel like they're being spoken to in a really clinical way. Like, mm-hmm. I'm distanced from you, and I'm looking down at you, and there's this clear separation between the therapist as this clinical, cold person, and I'm the client being quote-unquote treated. And I'm really passionate about not creating that kind of dynamic with my clients.
I think it's someone that's feel like that they've been drowning for so long, it's probably something that's really relieving for them to experience that kind of thing.
No one needs to be experiencing that. And I get people that have, and I'm really passionate about kind of working against not only the stigma of struggling in that way, but also creating a different experience, a new way of experiencing therapy for people.
Yeah. Well, Taylor, I appreciate you making the time to be able to talk to us a little bit today and about the wonderful work that you're doing. I'll have a link on this post that you can get in contact with Taylor if you feel like she'd be a really good fit with you, or even if you have any questions for her. I know that she would love to be able to answer those questions.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of St. Louis Therapist Spotlight. The music you're listening to is called Lobby Time by Kevin McLeod, and that is licensed under Creative Commons. And you can find more great tunes like this at